Whether it's in the time of Paul writing to the church in Thessalonica or right now, this moment, I think people can be forgiven for occasionally wondering, is there any good news? In the footage widely circulated in recent days, the fragile woman seated in a wheelchair, elderly, is wearing earphones connected to a device held by a young man who is kneeling by her side and assisting her. The music playing is from Tchaikovsky's ballet Swan Lake. She starts to move a hand with the grace of a ballet dancer, but after a few seconds she puts it back down again and shakes her head as if to say, "Never mind, I don't remember, I can't do it, there's no point." She has a look on her face that seems to signal a resigned frustration. But the music keeps playing, and the young man holds her other hand and gives it a supportive kiss, and then, as if moved by some unseen force, her other hand again rises and floats in the air gently with the music. And then the left hand joins in with the right hand as the muscle memory from a lifetime ago seems to take over. For many seconds, still seated in her wheelchair, she reenacts the elegant motions of a trained dancer who knows this specific piece of music. And when she finally stops, a handful of people who are in the room with her applaud. The footage makes it clear that she's in a care facility for people with dementia. She and the young man assisting her are speaking in Spanish. It's a touching piece. It's been all the way around the world. It has now been shared by millions of people on Facebook, YouTube, and other media and social media, and has brought grateful tears to the eyes of many. The dancer's name is Marta C. Gonzalez. I'm sorry to report that she died sometime in the last year. Beyond that much information, which does not seem to be disputed, most of the identifying material provided with the video doesn't actually pan out. So there's good news. Music still helps. True beauty is still truth, and truth is still beautiful. People still demonstrate that at their core, they remain deeply and gracefully human, no matter what stage or condition their life is in. Loving and respectful caretakers still make the world go round for a lot of people. That is more than enough breathtaking, soul-nourishing good news about the world that God has made. But a nagging sense persists that some can't seem to take yes for an answer, that they can't quite trust the truth of good news to be good enough. So they package it in an artificial wrapping to try to get you to feel awe or pity or interest or, I don't know. No wonder so many people report feeling numb. Even true stories and genuine portraits of humanity at its best come wrapped in cheap plastic these days. Remember 20 years ago when so-called inspirational emails would circulate, so you'd get these things in your inbox where the subject line would start off forward, 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 indicating that the email had been passed from one group on to another and on and on and on until somebody had cast it out to a group of their own choosing and you were one of those people and here it was showing up in your inbox. Two problems with those inspiring emails that I remember anyway from the late 90s and the early 2000s. For one thing, they were usually misleading or outright invented. And second, even if there was a kernel of truth at the core, it was like somebody had decided that the truth of the story needed a little more pop or a little more zing in order to make it worth reading. I remember there was one about the origin of taps, the bugle call. Breathtaking in the simplicity of its stark beauty, among the most powerful melodies ever devised and now sanctified by its use throughout the generations, to bid a grateful farewell to those who have made the supreme sacrifice. That is crystallized truth and beauty right there. But apparently somebody somewhere seems to have decided that that itself still isn't powerful enough. So they had to invent some idiotic fiction about, I can't remember, like a father and son who are on opposite sides of the Civil War, and then some impossible coincidence happens, and I guess you're supposed to get a lump in your throat by the end of this thing. But it was all fiction. And more frustratingly, it was totally unnecessary and only takes away from the real power of what we're talking about when we talk about something as deeply profound as that melody of Taps. Well, suffice it to say that the details, the written details that accompany the video footage of the retired ballet dancer are not checking out. The supposed associations with ballet companies are invented. Earlier footage of a young ballerina that's interspersed with the footage of Marta Gonzalez are actually of somebody else dancing a different ballet. Which is all too bad, because there doesn't seem to be any doubt about the truthful grace of that recent footage of Marta Gonzalez. So when even truth and beauty are presented in a package of manipulation, deceit, or outright lies, it's enough to leave reasonable people wondering, is there really any good news? To you I lift up my eyes, O you who are enthroned in the heavens. Our eyes look to the Lord until God has mercy upon us. Our prayers are today with those who are suffering the most and those who are most vulnerable in the turbulent waters of this pandemic. Our prayers are with those who've been damaged by this election season, whether damaged in their emotional lives or in the midst of strained relationships, or just with the simple incredulity and baffled disappointment over the fact that so many tens of millions of people voted on the other side from wherever you happen to be sitting. No matter who you are, that's hard. Our prayers are with anyone and everyone who can't see the calendar roll over into a new year soon enough. There is good news, world-changing, life-affirming good news, echoing throughout the cosmos and reverberating in our streets and in our homes and saturating even the minutiae of our lives. There is good news. In times that feel dark or hazy, good news needs torchbearers, not to tell everybody what to do, not to tell us what we need. Don't you love that? Nobody else knows what you need. But to lift up the light, to open the curtains so that the daylight can come in and we can see for ourselves. The world and its people don't need self-proclaimed know-it-alls to come into their lives and tell them what's right and true and good. They need somebody to herald the day. You, beloved, Paul and his companions wrote to the young, exemplary church in Thessalonica, you are not in darkness. You are all children of light and children of the day. We belong to the day. Next week is Christ the King Sunday, which is the culmination of our worship year. Amazingly, it's been a year since the last observance of that day in the liturgical calendar when we focus on the sovereignty of God, the reign of Christ, the reign of Christ over all earthly rulers and worldly leaders. How did we do during these most remarkable and in many ways tragic and in many ways astonishing 12 months, full of dangers and victories and triumphs of goodness? How did we do in these most remarkable 12 months in terms of being subjects of Christ the King, the Prince of Peace? How did you do? The Sunday following Christ the King is when the whole thing starts all over. The following Sunday is the first Sunday of Advent. That's when we remember how God was born into human life. It's the beginning of the next liturgical year. We remember how God was born into his human life, into the brutality of a world where children are sacrificed to political goals, and kings and queens and princes and prime ministers and presidents and congresses and parliaments jostle for political advantage. And you better just hope and pray that they remember the billions of human lives that are at stake and are at the mercy of what they decide and what they do. Somebody recently shared a quote with me. Peace comes with a wholehearted, unrestricted cooperation with reality. That was from a Jungian analyst who deals in helping people face themselves and the realities of their lives. As such, it's equally applicable to all of humankind right now. Peace comes with the wholehearted, unrestricted cooperation with reality. There is good news to share, and you are equipped with it and sent by God into the world to carry it as a torch, to bring light into dark places. That light doesn't work. The torch doesn't enlighten anything when we pretend that it's not really needed necessarily, that the darkness is just to be expected and that the light is nice, but take it or leave it, it's more or less inconsequential. The torch doesn't affect anything when we pretend that all statements and behaviors are equally good, right, and true, regardless of whether they reflect the Bible's insistent call for justice and humanity and mercy. The light enlightens nothing if we remain in the darkness that says all actions are equally worthy of Christian discipleship, regardless of whether or not they reflect Christ's fierce, insistent demands that we love our neighbor as we love ourselves, and that we follow him to the ultimate self-sacrifice of the cross in order to be faithful to God by serving humankind. The good news is there is good news. It is truer than our news reports. It is more real than all the data available in our systems. It is more crucial than the politically and economically motivated artificial inflammation of our differences. It is more compelling, convincing, and conclusive than any standard of what it means to be human that puts myself at the center of the universe and disregards the well-being of the rest of God's creation, including the rest of God's people. We belong not to the darkness, but to the day. For God has destined us not for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us so that we may live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, as indeed you are doing. Because there is a world of people out there who are at their wits' end, who are just begging God or the universe or you or me for mercy and for light. For we have had more than enough of contempt. To you I lift up my eyes, O you who are enthroned in the heavens, as the eyes of servants look to the hand of their master, as the eyes of a maid to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God until he has mercy upon us, until God has mercy on us all. Amen.